Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter number 10, stanzas 1, 2, and 3, in the fullness of thy grace. To thy house I will repair, bowing toward thy holy place. In thy fear will worship there, and what follows in 1, 2, and 3 of Psalter number 10.
Thank you.
Scripture reading for this morning hour can be found in the Gospel according to John, the 13th chapter, verses 12 through 38. John 13, verses 12 through 38. But first, we will read the Holy Law of God according to Exodus 20. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them, for I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. John 13, beginning with verse 12. So after he had washed their feet and had taken his garments and was set down again, he said unto them, Know ye what I have done to you? Ye call me Master and Lord, and ye say, Well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example, that ye should do as I have done to you. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him. If ye know these things, happy are ye if ye do them. I speak not of you all. I know whom I have chosen. But that the scripture may be fulfilled, he that eateth bread with me hath lifted up his heel against me. Now I tell you before it come, that when it is come to pass, ye may believe that I am he. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that receiveth whomsoever I send, receiveth me, and he that receiveth me, receiveth him that sent me. When Jesus had thus said, he was troubled in spirit, and testified and said, Verily, verily, I say unto you, that one of you shall betray me. Then the disciples looked one on another, doubting of whom he spake. Now there was leaning on Jesus' bosom one of his disciples, whom Jesus loved. Simon Peter therefore beckoned to him, that he should ask who it should be of whom he spake. He then, lying on Jesus' breast, saith unto him, Lord, who is it? Jesus answered, He it is, to whom I shall give a sop when I have dipped it. And when he had dipped the sop, he gave it to Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon. And after the sop, Satan entered into him. And then said Jesus unto him, That thou doest, do quickly. Now no man at the table knew for what intent he spake this unto him. For some of them thought, because Judas had the bag, that Jesus had said unto him, Buy those things that we have need of against the feast, or that he should give something to the poor. He then, having received the sop, went immediately out, and it was night. Therefore, when he was gone out, Jesus said, Now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God be glorified in him, God shall also glorify him in himself, and shall straightway glorify him. Little children, yet a little while I am with you. Ye shall seek me, and as I said unto the Jews, Whither I go, ye cannot come. So now I say to you, A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another. As I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know, and that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. Simon Peter said unto him, Lord, whither goest thou? Jesus answered him, Whither I go, and thou canst not follow me now, but thou shalt follow me afterwards. Peter said unto him, Lord, why cannot I follow thee now? I will lay down my life for thy sake. Jesus answered him, Wilt thou lay down thy life for my sake? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, the cock shall not crow till thou hast denied me thrice. so far the reading of God's holy word. Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. Almighty God of heaven and of earth, we may come together in this morning. Thou wakest us in safety, with health and strength sufficient, that we may gather again in thy house of prayer. And thou knowest all our hearts and what lives therein. Oh, may it be even in this morning that there is a desire, a little hunger and a little thirst. For we can read in thy word of him who did long to come to this place, when he was far away therefrom, and his heart did miss thee. Oh, then to come, that he may behold the beauty of the Lord, and that he may inquire in his temple. Oh, that there may be also such a desire among us and among our dear children in the day in which we live. Oh, that we may come to this place, that we may be in thy immediate presence, that place where thou in a special way dost promise to be with thy people here below, that place in which thou dost promise to work, the place in which thou dost promise to feed thy people. Oh, may it be that they may behold in this morning thy face. Oh, to see a little shining of thy face, thy countenance, that it may be in a blessed way, and that they may receive a little token of thy favor. Oh, that thou may look on us in a special way, when in this morning, then we are to consider that awful betrayal. And Lord, thou knowest the hearts of thy own children. Oh, thou dost not speak of them all. No, thou knowest where that they are also. And thou knowest how prone that they are also to cast that blame upon themselves, and to cast all thy work away. Oh, that thou may remember them in this morning. Lord, that thou who hast begun may show them something also of the way marks that thou hast led them by. Oh, that they may be enabled for a moment to see thy own work, and that thou wouldst not cast them into an awful distress. But Lord, thou knowest also what is necessary in the midst of thy church. Then it is necessary that that which is of hell be uncovered, and that that which is hypocrisy, that it be unmasked. O Lord, that thou may remember us all together, for we have hypocritical hearts, wretched hearts, miserable hearts, and within us there is that which is so deceptive, and we would hear that which is good, even when we are traveling on a broad way. Then we would say, let us hear that message of peace, peace, even when there is no peace. Oh, then how foolish that we are, and how that our deep fall does manifest itself in us and in our children, in the desires of our wicked hearts. Oh, Lord, could it please thee in this morning hour to open the eyes of the blind, and that we may be given for the first time in our life to see how wretched and how miserable, oh, to see how great our sins and miseries are, that we may go out of this place as different than we have come in, as one who is convicted of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. Oh, send us away from here for the first time, as one that has to put his hand into his own bosom, and that it comes out so leprous. Oh, that the cry may go out for the first time of our hearts in this morning hour. Oh, God, be merciful to me, the sinner. Instruct thou us in our great wretchedness, in the depth of our fall and of our misery. Oh, that the cry that may come up out of the depths, that thou may remember and that thou may look upon us in all our misery. Oh, that thou would deliver us from all our sins. And that thy dear Son, oh, that he may become so necessary in the life of such a one, that he could not live any more without thee. And that it may become such a wonder that thou hast sent thine only begotten Son into this world to seek and to save that which is lost. Oh, that he has paid that awful price, and that he has suffered, and that he has died, and that the sin and the iniquity of his church has been laid upon him. Oh, that the people may be given to see also that by his stripes they are healed. Oh, that thou may give a little comfort to those who are in distress and who know it not for their own soul. Oh, that thou would deliver, Lord, as thou alone art able, and that thou would show thyself also in our days that we live with our children, wherein there is so much that is hidden, and wherein thy spirit seems to be so quiet, but that which is thy work, oh, that is often also taking a long time, because that seed that is cast into the earth, and it is for a long time hidden beneath the soil, and there that life that does begin, when thou wilt water it with the dew of heaven, and when thou wilt cause the warmth of thy spirit to rest upon it, oh, then thou wilt begin, so that that root that is taking its root downward, and that it will spring up. Oh, we do not know how, we do not know when, but that little blade, oh, we beseech thee, Lord, could eternity yet tell that our labors in the midst of this flock, they are not in vain, but that here and there amongst young and old, that it is not all thorns, and that it is not all a plowing upon the rocks, but that it may be that that seed is also taking root, and that the fruit one day will be manifest in the midst of us as a congregation. Oh, look upon thy children, instruct them, feed them, lead them, teach them, rebuke them, chastise them. Oh, bring them in the place where they cannot bring themselves, and make thyself by renewal altogether lovely, the chiefest among 10,000. Remember the daughters of Jerusalem. Oh, thou knowest the desires that live in their hearts. Thou knowest the longings, the pantings. Thou knowest also the ignorance. Oh, that thou may teach them, that thou may lead them, that thou may bring them to an end of all that is of self, and make thy dear Son to be revealed to their poor souls. Lord, remember altogether, be with all the afflicted, those that are old. Thou knowest the needs, there are several. Thou knowest where they are. Also in this day, whether they were able to come together among us, whether they are in the nursing home, their own home, wilt thou look upon them in their weakness, in their afflictions, which are many,
when the grasshopper is becoming a burden. Lord, wilt thou watch over, and wilt thou supply in the needs of old age. But oh, could it please thee to make them the best years. Oh, that thy presence may be with them, and that thou may grant that life when there is no life, before that there is death, and then an eternal death. While time still remains, though it be so short, look upon us all together, for this time is short, and that eternity that is so very, very long. Oh, Lord, in a moment, then it can be that the thread of our life is let loose, and then we do pass into that great eternity. Oh, give an impression thereof, not only in a natural way, but give an impression thereof in our souls, that we might learn to hasten for the sake of our life, that the world may be forsaken in every former friend, and that one thing needful may be set before our eyes, and that we may run the race that is set before us, as if there is only one to receive the prize. Look upon all those that bring thy word. Oh, help, Lord. Thou knowest where they are, who are sent and called by thee. Oh, increase their number in truth and in uprightness. And wilt thou grant that the vacant congregations also may feel something of thy nearness. Those that do read the sermons, that do lead the congregations, help. Lord, look on thy church over the length and the breadth of the whole world. Be among us too. Be among us this day. Oh, that it may be a day, and that is not to be forgotten, because there is a little word, a word read out of thy word, a word from our mouth, a word from the psalms that we may sing. Oh, a little word that may go in this day, and that we may go out from this place, and that it may never be forgotten in our life, and that life may be born, that will forever live and sing thy praises. Help us, Lord. Take away all that is sinful and amiss. Drive out the buyers and the sellers. And wilt thou separate us then for these few moments, for Jesus' sake. Amen. While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter 385, stanzas 1, 2, and 3. Deliver me from evil. Preserve me, Lord, from wrong. Against the foes that gather, be thou my helper strong. On behalf of the consistory, we would like to make the following announcement. At the male members' meeting held March 17th, Mr. Gerrit van Hagenbos was elected for the office of deacon. He has received freedom to accept this office. Installation of office bearer will take place on Sunday morning, April the 3rd. Any lawful objection should be brought to the consistory by March 29th. Psalter 385, all stanzas.
Congregation, the words of our text for this morning hour can be found in that portion of God's Word which was read to you, John 13, and thereof the 18th verse, John 13, verse 18. I speak not of you all. I know whom I have chosen, but that the scripture may be fulfilled, he that eateth bread with me hath lifted up his heel against me. So far the words of our text. The hypocrite discovered, first known, second hid, and third revealed. The hypocrite discovered, first known, second hid, and third revealed. I speak not of you all. Who is speaking, congregation, is the Lord Jesus Christ. He speaks unto his disciples. They are at the Last Supper, and he has given to his disciples his last instruction. What was that? We read he washed their feet. And so he has also applied it, saying unto them, so ye ought also to wash one another's feet. And then he has instructed them in the blessing, and that is to be received and by such a life. If ye know these things, happy are ye if ye do them. Thus James, he says, be ye not hearers of the word only, but doers of the word. And then he says, I speak not of you all. Thus the Lord Jesus makes a particular application of this general truth that he has spoken to his disciples concerning the washing of the feet and the happiness if they should so walk. Thus he makes a particular application that is necessary, that a particular application is made to that which is general, to that which we may hear out of the word of God continually, that we come up and that we receive also a message that goes not in general only, but a message that comes to us specifically. Thus did the Lord ever make such an application to your own soul. What is the profit of all that we may hear and read when there is no application? I speak not of you all. Thus, the Lord Jesus, he is speaking here of a promise. Happy are ye if ye do so even as I have done. That is the promise of happiness. And then there is something else coming, because the Lord Jesus is also going to say something that is not a promise, but it is a curse. Thus, both of those are written in that holy word of God. The promise and a curse. And then the Lord Jesus, he says, I speak not of you all. Thus he says, then he speaks the promise on the one side. And thus he speaks also when he speaks of the curse. Thus he says, in the church, there will be wheat, there will be tares, there will be good fishes, there will be bad fishes. Then he says, we are not all to take the blessings and apply them unto ourselves. Because he says that happiness that does not belong to each and every one. Thus how necessary that also God's servants, they do make such distinctions to those things which are general, the promises in general, the curses in general. How necessary for God's servants that they do, even after the example of the Lord Jesus, to take forth the precious from the vile. No, we do not know the hearts. We cannot do even as the Lord Jesus could do when he could look directly into the hearts of every one of his disciples. And yet it behooves us to show, to lay out who are those who are blessed and who are they who are cursed. The hypocrite, he is one and that is ready to take all the promises in the Bible and apply them to himself. And the threats and the curses that rightly belong to him, he does push far away from him. And how is it with God's children? It is just the opposite. It is that people to whom all the promises in the Word of God belong, but they are not able just to apply them to themselves. They are not able just to receive them. And now it is on the one hand, and it is on the other hand, that the Lord Jesus, he says, I speak not of you all. Thus the Lord Jesus will set it straight. I speak not of you all. I know whom I have chosen, the blessing. That blessing of happiness, the Lord Jesus, he says, belongs to those whom he has chosen. That belongs to his elect. Oh, then he says, there may be those among me. There may be those who are members. There may be even those who are office bearers within that church of God that may have many, many gifts. And yet, they do not belong to my chosen. Yes, there is a means, he says, to gain that happiness. And those means, they must be used. For that we are responsible, for that we must give an account. But now that foundation that is lying, he says, in the electing love of God, that elects that people, that brings that people, every one of them, where, children, young people? Where does the Lord bring his elect, loved from that never begun eternity? He brings them in his house. He brings them under his word. Is that not a wonder? That you may also sit here. And when the Lord, he has taken, as it were, that first step already with you, that he has not taken with perhaps your neighbor in this world. I know whom I have chosen, and I know who will persevere in those means, and whom I will give the strength to persevere in those means, and who will receive the happiness in that perseverance. What a great comfort to God's people. Why? Because of their weakness. Because of their weakness also in the use of those means. Oh, that their efforts, they are not the foundation. Know that your praying, that is not the foundation. That your reading, that is not the foundation. That your labors, that your... Oh, you say, I cannot cry. And when I read and when I pray, then my thought that is all over the globe. Oh, is that not a wonder that that is not the foundation? Is that not a wonder? And that when actually it is so impossible from our side, that there is a way in Him. Because He has chosen a people unto Himself, so that that way now goes open unto us, congregation, and to our dear children. Because when He had never chosen that people, oh, then we might all just as well go home from this place. Then there would be no opportunity for any one of us. Oh, the Lord knows every one of His elect. I know whom I have chosen. They are not hid from Him. And what else does He know? He knows also those who are not His. He knows those who are not His even when they pretend to be His. He knows the hypocrite. I speak not of you all. I know whom I have chosen. Thus there is no pretense before the Lord, as there is before men. We would say, how is that possible? Children, how is that possible? The Lord knew who Judas was. And what did the Lord do? He called him. And He brought him and put him in an office. How is that possible? You say, that must be all God's children. Oh, the Lord says why. He says, I know whom I have chosen, but that the Scripture may be fulfilled. Oh, how careful was the Lord Jesus to fulfill the Scriptures. He is able to fulfill the Scripture. Can you fulfill the Scripture? We cannot. Because we are weak. Because we can bring nothing to pass, but He is God. And He is the ruler of the whole universe. And He is able to guide everything so that the Scriptures, they are perfectly fulfilled. And He wants to do it, and He will do it. Why? For His people. That they may know what they read here in those holy Scriptures, they are from God. And when they may see that which was prophesied and has been fulfilled, then they may see what has been prophesied and which still has to be fulfilled, and they may believe the Lord and His word, that the Scriptures may be fulfilled. Why? That He may be known, that all men may know who that Messiah is by what has been written of Him and what He will fulfill in Himself. Now I tell you, before it come, that when it is come to pass, ye may believe that I am He, that I am the Messiah. Oh, how did Christ labor for the good of His people? How did Christ labor for the faith of His people? How did Christ labor that His people may believe? Why? Because they are full of unbelief. and what is going to happen. We know it, boys and girls, it is going to go from this time down very fast. And the Lord Jesus is going to be taken in wicked hands. And those disciples, they are not going to understand what is happening. Therefore, the Lord Jesus, he tells them, because the Lord, he is not a land of outer darkness, he will bring his people through the trial. He will afflict them, he will chastise them, but he will not leave them. And he will give them helps. He will give them helps to what? Helps to faith. What is he willing to undergo for those helps, for that fulfillment of the scriptures? He is willing to undergo betrayal. But that the scriptures may be fulfilled, he that eateth bread with me hath lifted up his heel against me. Oh, how many sufferings were there of the Lord Jesus Christ in his body. He was born so poor, children, in a manger. And hunger and thirst and nakedness, and had not a place to lay his head. And the climax of those suffering, he was bound, he was spit upon, he was stricken, he was smitten, he was scourged, and even hung upon a tree, even unto death. Oh, did sin ever become loathsome in our eyes? When we may look once, even in a natural way, upon that cross and what it has cost the Savior of men. But now that sin, that is not only in our deeds, it is not only in our hands. No, it is also and especially in our hearts. Thus it is soul sin. And therefore, the Lord Jesus, he must suffer also, not only in his body, also in his soul. And we read that in the former chapter here. Now is my soul troubled. And what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this cause came I unto this hour. Oh, that human nature, recoiling from that which is before him, the divine nature increasing those sufferings in the knowledge of everything that is coming. It is another part of the soul suffering, his betrayal. What does it mean to be betrayed? That is, for a friend to become an enemy. Were you ever betrayed? Maybe you have the two children, boys and girls in school. You have friends. I hope you have friends. But I hope you are also a friend. Thus, not only do you have friends, but are you a friend? And are you a friend now to everyone? How would that be if now your closest friend would turn around and become your enemy? How that would hurt. If your closest friend would forsake you, if your closest friend would abandon you, if your closest friend would deliver you over unto the will of your enemies. Betrayal. Betrayal that is a breach of trust. One of the worst breaches that is known to mankind. Betrayal that is devastating. Or a betrayal that is as if the ground that is taken out from under our feet. Because a friend that is one we read in the Bible, a friend is one who will help us up when we fall. That is a friend. So a betrayal that is now just the opposite, and there is even more. That is, not only that he is not there to help us up when we fall, but he is there to come against us. He is there to take everything, also our weakest points and our most vulnerable points, and to lay them all before that enemy, so that that enemy that has every advantage against us, oh, how that the soul becomes weak under betrayal, then we are standing, as it were, all alone. The scripture must be fulfilled. What scripture? Well, we read this in Psalm 41. It is a psalm of David. David knew this too. Think of his own son Absalom and Ahithophel. Yea, he says, mine own familiar friend, in whom I trusted, which did eat of my bread, had lifted up his heel against me. He takes a similitude of a beast. And his owner feeds that beast, and he takes his heel and he kicks his owner. In Psalm 55, he speaks of it again, and he describes the great offense of it. For it was not an enemy that reproached me, then I could have borne it. Neither was it he that hated me that did magnify himself against me, then I would have hid myself from him. But it was thou, a man, mine equal, my guide, and mine acquaintance. We took sweet counsel together and walked unto the house of God in company. Oh, to have an enemy, that is awful. But to be betrayed, that is devastating. Christ, he had to undergo the worst of sufferings of mankind in this world. Why? That he may pay the price for whom? For the chiefest of the sinners. David was spared a certain grief. David was spared the grief of Ahithophel till it happened. Christ was not spared that grief. But Judas, he had to be in his company those whole 3 years. And it was part of that suffering when Jesus had thus said he was troubled in spirit and testified and said, verily, verily, I say unto you that one of you shall betray me. Sorrow, indignation at the treachery. I speak not of you all. I know whom I have chosen. But he was willing to endure it that the scriptures may be fulfilled. Thus that betrayer was known. He was known. But that betrayer is also hid. That is our second thought. Then the disciples looked one on another, doubting of whom he spake. What was in their conscience? The Lord Jesus says, one of you shall betray me. What was in their conscience? Did they have any such intention? None. No, there was in their heart love for him. They cannot imagine it. And because they do not feel anything of it in their own hearts, then they are beginning to look each one upon another. And when they look each one upon another, they cannot imagine that either. And they come full circle around that table. And then they come back to themselves. Who could that be? Of all of us, There is one that is the most to be suspected, and that is myself. Lord, is it I? When we have gone round and round, Lord, is it I? Oh, what am I capable of? What is the iniquity and what is the sin that is hidden from my own eyes? Is that not the instruction of the Spirit of the Lord? That dead heart that is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked, that heart know not of my neighbor, that heart in myself that is not to be trusted. Thus the Lord makes his people honest, that they also desire to know it. Lord, is that now something that I would do? Judas asked too. Why? Did he ask for the same reason as all the other disciples? No. He asked for a different reason. He asked only for one reason. That was to hide. That is why the words came out of his mouth. And in order to hide, He takes the words of God's people on his lips. In order to hide, he speaks the language of God's people. Just like he is one of them. That is the way of the hypocrite. Oh, we can easily learn what God's people say. And what we now ought to say, and copy them in order that everyone may think that we are one of the people. How fearful is hypocrisy? Because the Lord Jesus, he makes it clear to Judas. He makes it clear to Judas that he knows all things. Does Judas know whom the Lord is speaking about? When he says, one of you shall betray me, the Lord points him out. Judas knows it. Yet he goes on. He knows that he is not hid from God. And he still goes on that he may be hid from men. What an awful hardness. That attempts still to uphold itself before men, though it is even uncovered by the Lord. Oh, there is no fear of God before his eyes. Hypocrisy. That is now to put on a face before men. And that hypocrisy that is struggling to uphold itself. How effective it often is. Then the disciples looked one on another, doubting of whom he spake. So great is that hypocrisy, that it is able to hide itself even among them who are the most discerning. The disciples, they have no idea. Some of the greatest wickedness that is lying in the hearts of those who have the highest stations and places in this world, making it all the more evil. How hard it is to believe it. And therefore the Lord swears to it. He says, verily, verily, how astonished that the church is going to be when it is revealed. But let us sing first from Psalter 149. 149, 3 through 6. The living God in righteousness will recompense with shame the men who, hardened by success, forget to fear his name. 3 through 6 of 149. Our last thought is, congregation, the revelation or the discovery of this Judas. And we see in this chapter actually a fourfold discovery. So the Lord Jesus, he does not come immediately out with it. He does not come outright with it. But he does it slowly. Step by step. Why does he do it at all? Oh, that those disciples, it is care for his own disciples, that it will not later be to them a stumbling block, that they will not later be taken by surprise with all of these events. But on the other hand, the Lord Jesus is so good to Judas. Oh, so good to Judas. Because he does not say everything right away. And he gives Judas such an opportunity to turn from his way. First, the Lord Jesus, he does that in a very general way. He does it, as it were, by making an exception. He says, I speak not of you all. I know whom I have chosen. But it seems like the disciples do not understand it. They do not receive it. How little is the understanding of that church. And so the Lord Jesus, he says it more clearly. He says it more forcefully. Verily, verily I say unto you, one of you shall betray me. And now the disciples, now they become amazed. Now those disciples, they begin to inquire. Peter beckons to John to ask him who that is. He does not ask himself, but he asks John to ask the Lord. Why does he do that? Well, John, he is close to the Lord Jesus. Yes, there are some. They live close. Do you live close also, people of the Lord? And then it is that people, they may have a special place, that they may have a special communion with the Lord Jesus Christ. And they may also receive a special communication from the Lord. What do we read? That the Lord gives to him a sign. Thus there are some, because John receives that sign, and no one else. But there are some that receive a privilege above the others of God's children. He it is to whom I shall give a sop when I have dipped it. And when he had dipped the sop, he gave it to Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon. That sign that was directly related to the prophecy. To the prophecy. What do we read in our text? He that eateth bread with me hath lifted up his heel against me. And now the last discovery, that is to Judas himself. Cannot but be that Judas perceives something by now. That it is not only the Lord Jesus that knows, but that the Lord Jesus, he is beginning to reveal, to uncover him also before the other disciples. That he begins to realize that the other disciples, they may begin now to become aware. And he becomes more and more uncomfortable among the disciples. More and more, Judas feels that he is not one of the people. The Lord Jesus comes closer and closer to putting his finger on that sore spot. And now, how is that for Judas? Does it bring Judas on his knees? Does he see his wrong? Does he feel his wrong? Is he sorry for what he is doing? No, it is the opposite. He becomes angry. He becomes irritated. When the Lord Jesus gives unto him that sop, and he resents the Lord Jesus Christ and the enmity that has long been living in his heart, but has been so covered, that enmity that begins to boil. And what do we read? That after the sop, Satan entered into him. He is completely given over. And now all the restraint from the side of the Lord, that is also taken away. And Satan, he may now take freely his prey. Or he takes him by degrees. He takes him by steps. Once he gets a footing, young people, once he gets a footing, then he is not easy to cast away. But now, he becomes a willing servant of the devil. He becomes even as Satan himself. How is that with the hypocrite? When the hypocrite is pointed out, does he repent? Is he sorry? Does he turn? No, he becomes angry. That is the nature of that disease. That is the nature of the malady. And he seeks to cover. And he cannot endure when that cover will be taken away. That is the opposite of the true work. Because the Lord humbles. The Lord gives repentance. The Lord brings in the dust. Oh, how just is the Lord to leave a person over. When he has long had dealings with a person, now to leave him to himself. What thou doest, do quickly. The Lord Jesus, he has been in control from the first moment to this, exactly when that he shall suffer, exactly how that he shall suffer. Cannot happen one moment sooner than he allows it. Now he lets the reins loose and he lets the horse run. Everything is fulfilled. He is now ready to go forward and he is completely willing. That thou doest, do quickly. He defies Judas. He defies Satan to do their worst. And he is going to go forward to bring in the redemption of his own church. That thou doest, do quickly. Now no man at the table knew for what intent he spake this unto him. As yet they had no good understanding. As yet the disciples cannot put it together. And their opinions of Judas are still charitable opinions. The eyes of the disciples, they are still held. Why? Well, we can imagine, can we not, children? You know how it was with Peter when he came in that garden and he took his sword and he cut off the ear of that servant of the high priest. Oh, what would those disciples now do? And Peter, when everything had been exposed, to stand in the way of Judas, to stand in the way of their own redemption. No, cannot be. The Lord Jesus, he is willing. And so Judas goes on and on. To the chief priests, to the garden, once more a warning. I am he. And also Judas, he is falling backward to the ground. One more warning, Judas. It does not help. No, he goes on and on. Hail, Master. kiss, and he is betrayed. The act is accomplished. The deed is done. And the reward is received. Clutches that spoil. It is that coveted price. But then that silver that becomes hot in his hands. His conscience that speaks so loudly. And his heart condemns him. And that prize is spoiled by the turmoil that is living in his soul. And he cannot hold on to that silver because that silver that melts a hole through his hands, it is cast into the temple. It is the price of blood, innocent blood, innocent blood. I have betrayed the innocent blood. But those that are destined for hell, they don't know any sympathy. What is that to us? See down to that. So Satan drives him on and on to despair of hope, to despair of life. And so he goes to his own place, hanging on that tree and falling. Falling and falling. Burst asunder in the midst. Bowels gushed out. And then he continues to fall. To fall. Fall and fall. Deeper and deeper into that abyss. Into that pit wherein is no bottom, that is reserved for the devil and for his angels. His own place. His place prepared of God. The place prepared of God for every hypocrite. For every hypocrite that wears a face, that lives a double life, life before God and a life before men, indeed hidden, hidden to men, the sin is secret, the sepulchre is whited. But it is known. Known to God. The dead men's bones. The filth. The corruption. The hypocrisy. And receives warnings. And receives callings. Here. There. Time and again. But he continues. He goes on in his way. The Lord doesn't stop him. Soon he will be revealed. Unmasked. But it will be too late. And he will join him who has gone before him in his place. Congregation, what an awful, what an awful message is in the Word of God. The hypocrite discovered. Hidden, yes, but known. But known. And it will be revealed. And how will it now be with us? Will we not be honest? Will we not be honest with our own soul before God? It will be uncovered. It will be uncovered. Is it not better now than then? Is it not better here than later? The longer we continue, the harder we become. The longer we continue, the more entrenched that we become in our way. Is there never a moment that your conscience speaks? Is there never a moment that you are brought so close to that Word of God that the Lord brings it, as it were, to discover you, to discover you? Will you not suffer that discovery to have a place? Will you not turn? Will you not bow? Will you forever uphold yourself with a form of religion and harbor a wicked and a desperate heart, or as long as it is a day of grace? We do not need to despair. We do not need to despair. Oh, let never the devil drive you to despair, because there is room. There is room in that blessed mediator for the greatest hypocrite. For the greatest hypocrite, he himself was betrayed, that he may take such unto himself. But we all must be unmasked in a day of grace. Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, wilt thou take away our cover? And wilt thou expose our heart that we could not hide anymore? And wilt thou show to us the wretchedness and the sin? But not to let us despair. Oh, have mercy upon us, because thou sayest that there is room in thee. Oh, draw then unto thyself, but keep us from going our own way. Do bring us safely to our homes. Give us meditation upon thy word. Thou sayest, I speak not of you all. All that thou may look upon thy people. For Jesus' sake, amen. 384. One through five. O Lord, my inmost heart and thought, thy searching eye doth see. Where'er I rest, where'er I go, my ways are known to thee. 1 through 5 of 384. receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessing.